to tie a passage from the New Testament to one in the Old Testament. And at first, it's going to seem like one has nothing to do with the other. But if you hang in there with me for just a little bit, I'm going to try to make it make sense. Reading now from Mark 4, 35 through 39. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side, leaving the crowd behind." They took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Just because there's a storm doesn't mean Jesus isn't there. It doesn't mean he doesn't care. We see in the middle of this storm, the disciples are petrified. Jesus, who had been sleeping, gets up and says to the winds and the waves, "Quiet, be still." If we translate this more accurately from the language Jesus was speaking to our language, it means this: shush up and stay shushed up. One particular storm the Israelites of old faced was a group of people called the Philistines. In the center of their storm was the monster, the giant Goliath. Goliath was huge. Goliath towered over all of the Israelites, not only him, but everybody. He was even taller than most of the Philistines. He was 9'9" in his stocking feet. He wore 125 pounds of armor. He snarled like that bald guy on Worldwide Wrestling Federation. He wears a 20-size collar, a 10.5 hat, and a 56-inch belt. He's huge. His biceps bulge through his shirt and his thigh muscles ripple. His voice rumbles down the canyon, "Come out and fight me, you baby losers." When King Saul and his men heard the Philistines' challenge, they, like the disciples, were terrified. 1 Samuel 17:11. On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Goliath's family was an ancient foe of the Israelites. Some biblical scholars trace Goliath's family tree back to Orpah. Remember her? She was the other daughter-in-law who went back to Moab while Ruth journeyed on with Naomi. Joshua once drove Goliath's nation out of the promised land 300 years before this happened. And here they are again. The quote, "Those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it," seems appropriate here. Saul's soldiers take a look at Goliath and they see their lives flash before their eyes. Their lives, their father's eyes, their grandfather's eyes, their great-grandfather's eyes. We notice the same chain reaction in our lives. The monsters in our lives remind us of our parents, our grandparents. And I've heard us say, addictions run in our family, or anger runs in our families, or abuse runs in our families. When will it ever stop? When will the battle ever be over? It will be over when Jesus says, "Shush," and stay shushed up. For many days, Saul and his men would wake up and come face to face with their monster. The Israelites and the Philistines met in the Valley of Elah to do battle. The Israelites were on one side and the Philistines were on the other. Each had a battle line. If one side wanted to get a message to the enemy or taunt them, they would have to send a soldier into the battle line to do it. Every day for 40 days, the Philistines would send out Goliath. He'd step out of the ranks and trash talk Israel. 1 Samuel 17:8 through 10. Goliath stood up and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for a battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." Enter David, the ancestor of Christ. After doing some research about David's age at the time he slew Goliath, he was probably about 15 through 17 years old. So David was just a kid when he became a giant slayer. David was too young to be fighting in the army. He was sent into the war zone as a sandwich delivery boy. He's the ancient version of Jimmy John's, Freaky Fast. As he crests the hill, he sees grown men cowering in fear. Frankly, it's King Saul who should have been fighting Goliath, but it's a boy who steps in to do a man's job. Even Goliath saw that David was a boy, but David didn't back down or even offer up an apology for being a kid. David's first words about Goliath are seen in 1 Samuel 17:26. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David sees past Goliath to God. David shows up talking about God. The other guys haven't said a word about God, but David takes one step onto the stage and raises the subject of the living God. There's no chit-chat about how the battle is going so far. There's no discussion about a better military strategy or a question even about how bad their odds are. Just this announcement by David, as we see in 1 Samuel 17:37. The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. No one is discussing God. I'm not even sure he's a little blip in their thoughts. But David discusses God and nobody else. Unlike the disciples in the boat, David is not afraid. He understands that God is in his court. Where is his faith? It's in God. David sees what others don't and refuses to see what others do. All eyes except for David's are focused on the hulking monster before them. Their inner radars are set on the giant, except for David's. It's not that David is ignoring Goliath. Far from it. He just can see, compared to his God, Goliath is a pipsqueak. There's this little fairy tale that strangely relates to the biblical story of David. Once upon a time, there was a poor woman and her son Jack. One day, Jack's mother sent him to town to sell their only cow. On the way to town, Jack met a man who wanted to buy the cow for 5 magic beans. Jack thought, that sounds great. So he took the beans and he handed over the cow. When Jack got home, guess who was mad? Mama. Mama was mad. She hollered at Jack and sent him to bed without his dinner. And she threw those dumb beans out the window. When Jack woke up the next morning, he looked out the window and saw a huge beanstalk had grown from those magic beans. He climbed the beanstalk and reached a kingdom in the sky, where he found a giant and his wife. Jack went to their house and asked Mrs. Giant, could you please give me something to eat? I didn't have dinner last night and I'm starving. So Mrs. Giant gave him some milk and bread. While he was eating, the giant came home. Jack was terrified and hid, and the giant cried, fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. Mrs. Giant said, there ain't nobody here. So the giant ate his dinner and went to his room to count his gold coins. After the giant went to sleep, Jack snuck out of his hiding place and took the sack of gold coins and hurried down the beanstalk. He gave the gold coins to his mother, and they lived off of them for a long time. Well, Jack was a little pesky, and he couldn't leave well enough alone, so he went up and down the beanstalk several more times, where eventually the giant caught him, because otherwise the story would get pretty boring. The giant ran after Jack, but Jack beat him down the beanstalk. When he got down, he grabbed an axe and chopped down the beanstalk. The giant fell, and nobody heard another word out of him. And Jack and his mother lived happily ever after. Both Jack and David had giants who meant to cause them harm. Jack had 5 beans and slayed a giant. David had 5 stones and slayed a giant. Unlike Jack, David was a real-life teenager who faced up to a giant who was also very real. Unlike Jack, David didn't have beans. He had stones and a slingshot. David had something else Jack didn't have. David had a great big God. What are David's odds against his giant? About the same as the guys being tossed around in the boat with Jesus that day. Maybe David's odds are about the same as yours. Not good. Only your giant doesn't carry a sword and a shield. His weapons are unemployment, abandonment, abuse, depression, addiction. Your giant doesn't parade up and down the street calling you out for a public fight. He parades through your office, your bedroom, your classroom, your computer. He shows you the bills you can't pay and the grades you can't make, the people you can't please, and the substance you can't resist. He shows you a past you can't shake and a future you can't see. We all have monsters hiding under our beds. Certain triggers make us go jelly on the inside. But you must tell yourself, Jesus is ready and willing to say to the monster, shush up and stay shushed up. And the monster has no choice. Even the winds and waves obey Christ's commands. August, even though we're only into the second week, has been a very stormy month for our family. 2 weeks ago, my brother was hit while he was on his scooter downtown Chicago. It was a hit and run, and he was left on the side of the road for dead. He is not dead. He's going to recover. And last week, my mother needed an emergency pacemaker. She is recovering in rehab. When I began to tell people here at church what was happening, they talked about the power of God and not about how high the waves were. And that bolstered my faith. When our storms begin to brew, where is our faith? When your monster pops his head up, where is your focus? You know your monster is anywhere and everywhere. You recognize his rumbling walk, his windy talk. But is he all you see? Is he all you can hear? Jesus Christ's ancient ancestor, King David, believed in the Lord. His faith and focus were directed at God. 1 Samuel 17, 45 through 47. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those who gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." When we come against the giants and storms of life, there are two ways we can handle it. We can do as David did when he struck down Goliath. He was saying, in effect, "In the name of the living God, shush up and stay shushed up." Or we could do as the disciples did. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Mark 4, 40 through 41. Jesus said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and sea obey him?" Jesus here is saying, "Come on, you guys. Where's your backbone? Don't you know me by now?" We can't see other people's backbones, which is a good thing, because it's hidden under our skin. But it's very tough, and it's a necessary part of our anatomy. Without it, we're big blobs of jello. You can always tell if someone has a strong backbone by how they're able to move and what they're able to do. David obviously had a strong backbone. You've probably heard the idiom that goes, "He has a lot of backbone," or "She needs to grow a backbone." In this case, backbone means courage, chutzpah, or strong will. It's not a psychological thing or a physiological thing. It is a psychological thing. It's a mental and a spiritual thing. Even people who have back problems can have a lot of backbone. It certainly takes a lot of backbone to say to this world's giants and storms, "Shush up and stay shushed up." It takes a lot of backbone to come in talking about Jesus instead of how big the giant is or how high the waves are. My friends, come against your giants and your storms speaking the name of Jesus. His name is power. His name is healing. His name is life. His name breaks every stronghold. His name shines through the shadows, and his name burns like a fire. Speak the name of Jesus.